got a sensitive butt, believe me. And maybe she was right to leave me home with nothing but my butt. She left me sad and lonely, and now it's me and only my incredibly sensitive butt. Someday I'll make the perfect poo and wish it was inside of you, but now it's me and just my own poop alone. Till then I'll wish upon a star and wonder where the fuck you are, but will not care because you are such a bitch. Somewhere outside my butthole I can make it my way. Somewhere outside my butthole light is bright as the day. Someday I'll make the perfect poo.
Hey, this is Justin, half of the dynamic duo that comprise the Grindhouse Messiah podcast. I'm just here to give a little announcement because we promised that with the next podcast, you would receive an update about our upcoming Patreon. Well, we have a bunch of updates, in fact, but here's what I promised you. We would have an update, and the update is this. By August 15th, the Patreon will be launched. In fact, that is the date that we plan on getting it kicked off. It could be a day or two sooner than that. But don't worry, right around the middle of August, you'll be getting that. And we're really excited. In addition to the Patreon, one of the first things we wanted to do as part of our perks is some merch. We have some merch coming out. We just designed a new logo, which I have officially unveiled with this podcast. So I hope you dig it. On social media, we've got a really good response for our new logo. And that logo translates really well to kick-ass t-shirts. So we're going to be getting t-shirts, black t-shirts with white print. We're also going to hopefully getting some trucker hats and some stickers. The stickers will be, you know, three-color with the red, the logo that you see right now if you're looking at this podcast. So I appreciate a lot all the support we've gotten and all the people have been asking us about getting our Patreon going. Well, this is the deal. We're getting it going. There'll be special special perks and access to merch will be certainly part of that. We'll be selling those shirts and hopefully hats and stickers as well, and maybe giving some away to launch the Patreon. So just keep that in mind. Some of the other perks are going to include things like if you're a filmmaker, sponsoring some episodes could land you your opportunity to have us cover your film, be a guest on the podcast. Also, If you purchase certain levels, there'll be other things that you can access, including dictating things we watch, and hopefully some more merch in the future. And we're definitely putting out some special episodes that'll be, some of them are current normal type format, and some of them really just, special episodes that are completely different. So that's that. I'm driving right now, and if you're familiar with my old podcast, Drive All Night, one of the things I used to do was record a podcast while driving. Don't worry, I'm being safe, hands-free. But I just wanted to mention, on the note of that, is that there were some episodes that I never aired of that, and some other recordings for the Farsighted podcast, and just interviews that I recorded specifically for interviews, like written interviews. Wow, I can't speak. But you know I won't edit that because that's just how I am. But the written interviews that I've done, I have a lot of audio for some of those. So I'm going to be putting some of that stuff up on the Farsighted podcast feed sometime soon. I'm going to probably revamp that feed a little bit. It's going to be kind of a best of the network type feed. So stay tuned for that as well. So I appreciate everything you guys have done to support us. We appreciate all the support in advance that we know that you guys will continue to do. Shout outs to our friends at Vinegar Syndrome. Our friend Josh Krippa, we know you're listening, Crips. He's promised to be the first shirt purchase, so he will be the first shirt purchased. And his might cost four times the price of everybody else's, but don't tell him. No, in all seriousness, we love you all. Thanks for a lot. And enjoy this episode with the Boner Juicers, as I like to call them. Really awesome, fun guys, John and Zach. And if you stay tuned to the end of the episode and you read the show notes, you'll see we're giving away a copy of The Unquenchable Thirst of Boner Juice. So check that out and get yourself a copy of this bizarre fucking musical. And in traditional Blaine fashion, I will kick the end of this off by saying peace. But you guys don't actually peace. Just listen.
What is this?
The show looks shitty.
We got some motherfucking maggots on our titties.
I don't like it.
This is the pits.
We got some motherfucking maggots on our tits. But we got titty maggots. But talking titty maggots. But we got titty maggots. But fuck.
This fucking blows!
This fucking sucks.
I got some motherfucking maggots on my chunks!
This is fuck.
It's totally whack!
I got some motherfucking maggots on my rack!
Fuck! We got titty maggots, fuck! Talking titty maggots, fuck! We got titty maggots, fuck! Fuck! Fucking titty maggots, fuck! We got titty maggots, fuck! Talking titty maggots, fuck! We got titty maggots, fuck!
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Grindhouse Messiah. We are back after our one-year anniversary. I am your co-host, Blaine, and with me, as always, is...
Justin! What's up, Blaine?
Oh, not much, man. Just hanging out. Glad that we're finally back. We've got guests this week. Last couple of weeks, we were giving away shit, so it was just me and Justin trying to give you guys free fucking movies. But,
got a bunch of entries, and on this particular episode, we're recording it a little bit ahead, but once we put it out, you'll get to hear who won. So thank you for those who entered and for those who we announced just prior to this particular conversation. So, Blaine, what did you want to start today off with? We have a sponsor, as always. Who's our sponsor?
That was the messiest way to get to that. But,
man. I am so good at transitions and introductions and stuff, so, you know.
Yeah, let's not work on that. Yeah, just a big shout-out this week to our sponsors, Vinegar Syndrome. They just killed it with their halfway to Black Sunday sale. We've got a bunch of new shit coming in that we're going to be doing mini reviews for. So expect that, and congratulations you guys on apparently making a shit ton of money, and glad to hear it so we can keep getting all the grandpa porn I want in beautiful 4K transfers, and
I thought on the last episode you resolved to not talk about grandpa porn as much, but I guess Vinegar Syndrome ruined that one.
I just got my order from the sale, and all it is old porn.
Nice. So, well, that resolution disappeared pretty quick with our 1 year anniversary. But hey, that's okay. Vinegar Syndrome, we love them. We're excited that we're gonna have more to talk about from them. And thanks a lot, guys. And good job with your sale. It seems like you're playing a little catch up right now, and that's awesome. And although I want to correct Blaine, you said halfway to Black Sunday. What is Black Sunday?
I don't fucking know.
Isn't that a movie? Yeah, that's a good movie, isn't it? Anyway, all right, let's move on to some movies that maybe aren't as good as Black Sunday. I don't know. You guys can decide. We have a couple guests who made some movies. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? John, why don't you kick us off?
Yo, hey, what's up? This is Johnny Buell. I'm in Portland, Oregon, and I am the director of a movie I made with some friends called The Unquenchable Thirst for Boner Juice.
Boner Juice, right? The guy's name is Bo Ner Juice?
First name Bo, last name Ner Juice.
Clever.
It's a nice bad Simpsons joke with some, maybe he's Belgian, I don't know, not sure. But I made it with my friends and Zach Carter. Are you there?
Yeah, hi, I'm Zach.
Before you go any further, I just want to say your friends and Zach Carter, you said. I just thought, is he not your friend?
I got more.
We had a huge falling out.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad we were able to get you both on. So, Zach, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, I'm Zach Carter, and I also forgot to create a pseudonym when we made The Unquenchable Thirst for Boner Juice.
No, that's awesome. And Zach, what was your role in the movie?
I was the co-writer, co-producer, and director of photography, and I played the Antichrist.
Nice, the Antichrist. Well,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. And I just want to mention to you guys, I had ran a review, I guess, a little earlier this year, and I don't think I've gotten more responses of people trying to track down your movie. So I hope they bought them, but we've been getting I got a ton of people that were interested, especially after seeing that trailer, because it is a blast.
So we'll plug it at the beginning and the end, so we'll make sure we plug it again at the end. But where can people find the copy of that flick?
They can get it on Blu-ray or DVD at theunquenchablethirstmovie.com, and we'll send it out right away. Awesome. It's actually, I think it's streaming on Amazon Prime right now. I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't know for how much longer. I don't know if you guys know this, but they barely pay anything to the.
Oh, I did not know that. That's a shame. I want to read the note when you sent me a copy. What it said: "Hi, Justin. Here is the poop movie you requested. Love, Johnny."
Yeah. Mine, I don't want to lie to you.
Yeah, mine just said, "Enjoy my poop movie. Fart, Johnny."
Great.
Nice. And so we discovered you guys, or this movie, because it was playing in my my home city of Philadelphia, because we have a festival called Philadelphia Unnamed Film Festival that has a cinema down here called South Street Cinema, and they were showing your movie, and unfortunately I was like, oh man, I can't get down, because, you know, I'm a dad and I had to like watch my kids and stuff, but yeah. As soon as I missed it, I was like, I need to find a way to see this movie. So I reached out to the person, Madeline from Puff, who's actually been on our show a few times, and she's a buddy of mine, and she hooked me up with your information. So we were able to kind of to get on, and we were going to talk about your movie some months ago, and that episode fell out, and we were like, no, let's reach out to them and just talk about some of their inspirations. So what did you guys pick as some of the inspirations that that you wanted to cover tonight?
For the Boner Juice film movie?
Yeah, the ones that we're going to talk about tonight that you're kind of like, you know, or maybe not inspiration, but favorite films of yours.
You know, I think when we were writing it, I was, I don't know if I was angry at the universe, but I basically was just kind of reading like a Joseph Campbell writer's journey, you know, hero's journey book. And I was just trying to kind of make fun of how dumb it was. And so it was like every step of the way, I was like, how could we make fun of this, you know, obvious choice that anyone would ever do? And I don't know if it really came out, but I don't know. What do you think, Zach?
Well, I think he wanted you to segue into the movies we're going to talk about.
I did, but you know what? That was still a really interesting thing to bring up. So I'm glad to know a little bit more about the background of how that movie came about. But yeah, Zach, what movies are we talking about tonight?
We're going to talk about some Frank Hennenlotter pictures, such as Brain Damage.
Brain Damage. So I'll be straight with you. We're watching Brain Damage, Frankenhooker, and Bad Biology for this episode. And, you know, Brain Damage is the only one of the three I had actually watched any somewhat recently at all. And Frankenhooker I probably hadn't seen in a really long time. And I'd never seen Bad Biology at all. So it was like rediscovering Frankenhooker and discovering, you know, Bad Biology for this episode. And, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be the only one who feels this way, but I really, really like Bad Biology, and I think everyone here probably likes Frankenhooker. So, you know, I thought you were some pretty damn good selection. So, are you guys fans of all these movies, or are you like playing and like to tell me that Bad Biology is by far the man's worst film?
I've actually never seen Bad Biology. Johnny picked that. But I could see the inspiration with the gigantic dicks and everything.
Oh, wait, you saw since then, right? You've seen Bad Biology since then, or no, Zach?
Yeah, I watched it in preparation.
Oh, excellent. All right.
I did my homework.
Very good. And but Bad Biology been on my, you know, list of films to check out for a while, because one of the other podcasts I listen to, and a friend of our show who writes for my website sometimes, named Doug Tilley, he does a podcast called No Budget Nightmares, and they've talked about Bad Biology before, and I know he's a fan, and it just sounded so whacked out that I had to check it out, and I'm glad I had a good excuse to do so. So, but we decided we're going to talk about these movies chronologically, so we're going to start with Brain Damage, which for the most part is probably one of Hennenlotter's most heralded films as well. So you guys, I take it you're both fans of this film. Why don't one of you kind of give us a little bit of, or we'll start with Zach. What's your experience with this film? How did you know? Have you seen it a lot of times? When did you get into it? Do you have any interesting things about the film for you?
Brain Damage. I just pulled out the VHS to put on my desk for inspiration. No, Brain Damage is amazing. I've had this tape. I haven't upgraded it since VHS, but I've had this tape forever. So I've definitely seen it a handful of times.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, the Aylmer creature is amazing, and the way they made that puppet work kind of makes the movie for me.
Yeah, it's really that puppet plus all that all the kind of fun practical psychedelic scenes and everything. This movie, not to sound like a fancy boy, but I got to watch it on the newest Blu-ray release from Arrow, and it's great seeing it in that shape, only because you get to see those color saturations and everything. Yeah. I had only seen it on VHS up until now, and holy shit, if you get a chance to snag a copy of it on the Blu-ray, it really does look fucking beautiful.
Yeah, I'd actually be curious to see it looking a little better, because in like the train scene, I was watching it and I your VHS is run down. You're like, what is that like cell animation? What are they doing?
Oh yeah, and it, compared to the VHS that I used to watch from it, Aylmer always looked like more turd-like because it was so dark and grainy. And seeing it, it's seeing the detail on it. It does make it a little bit cornier looking when you have the good transfer, but you get to see all the detail and everything, and it still looks pretty fucking good, especially for a movie that's from 1988, made on like what, probably under $1 million, and so it looks really fucking good.
Johnny, was the VHS turd like quality of Aylmer what
I don't think I saw this until maybe like four or five years ago, and the reason was that I was on some forum somewhere, and these two guys like were saying something, and someone had pronounced or had written Aylmer's name as Aylmer, and then he was like, "You don't even know what you're talking about. That's not even how you spell his name." And so I was like, "I have to see this movie if fanboys like get that angry at how to say like."
That's pretty great. I only saw it for the first time a few years ago too. And then I also have the Arrow film copy. I've got one of them plain white discs that they send as promos, so I don't have all the nifty cool artwork, but it's a pretty awesome the transfer. I've only ever seen it that way, so I can't compare it to any other VHS or anything. But man, I was pretty blown away by the film the first time I saw it, because I actually I work with a lot of folks who are drug addicted, and so I was actually really interested in the whole like allegory of the story as well. Like besides all the cool effects and the creepy shit going on, there's actually a really interesting story of addiction going on as well. And I think that's probably why this film is one of his most heralded, because it's probably the one that's got one of the deepest, maybe social messages as well. Yeah. I'm a big fan. Whether you take the social message in it or you just kind of remove it and take it as a weirdo creature feature, no matter what, it's a pretty damn fun film.
Yeah, I thought about that a lot, as far as like addiction, but obviously the one difference is like, there's a finite amount of this drug, thing.
Right.
So I'm like, can you imagine if there was like a finite amount of like, hardcore drugs that drug addicts could get? Like how much fighting would be in the street to get like that one? Like it would just be bonkers.
Oh, that would be bad news. Like if there was only so much, heroin.
Yeah.
We'd be really, really, really screwed. I mean, not that we're not screwed right now in the heroin epidemic, but I'm gonna just glance over that as to not be depressed about opioids right now, and just say, man, you're right, it would be insane.
Hear me out. It could be a little fun.
You're a bad person, Blaine. I'm starting to the longer I know Blaine, the more I know about some of his earlier in life stories that I can't share in public. And man,
But yeah, but with brain damage, with bringing up the drugs and everything, it's funny because I'd watched this movie so many times, and up until about last night when I was rewatching it at about 11:30, I really had never paid attention to that for some reason. I guess I always forget because you go through all those Frank Henenlotter movies and usually drugs are a gag, and we'll get to that when we talk about Frankenhooker. But yeah, no, it is like it does actually have, you know, some sort of social message. But the big thing I wanted to bring up with all these movies, but just the fun of seeing how disgustingly seedy New York was at that time. Yeah, it really is kind of a, you know, kind of a testament to that completely gone era of New York.
You know, being that I'm kind of a relative novice in Frank Henenlotter, you know, two aesthetics kind of hit me at watching his films. They kind of seem like a little bit of that over the top trauma ridiculousness, but mixed in with like that Abel Ferrara like seedy New York thing. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird how they kind of meet together in the Henenlotter universe, you know? And I totally get what you're saying, Blaine.
Yeah, because nothing's better than watching Basket Case and just looking at the movie titles as he goes down 42nd Street, everything like that. And you get a little bit of that in this movie, but everything else is just so murky.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I don't even know if it was intentional in some of these movies. They could just go outside and it would be gross.
Yeah. It's hard not to take advantage of shooting outdoors when everything looks like that.
Yeah.
Just unlimited extras that are playing exactly the roles you need.
So I grew up in northern New Jersey, and so, like, New York being the big city down the street. And the interesting thing is that, you know, I definitely, you know, as we're talking about this, I'm thinking about late 80s New York and what it was known for being like. And, yeah, this is totally what it was known for being like, even if you take all this, like, movie stuff out of it. Just, like, I guess it was all legit. I never spent time, you know, at night when I was 7 years old walking through the streets of New York. But, you know, I definitely get that. This is, I guess it really was that fucking gross.
But I mean, like, when you wanted to rebuild your girlfriend with prostitutes, you'd drive over there to, like, you know, get your dick with prostitutes.
I realized I didn't quite have to go there because there were some, I lived a little bit closer to Jersey City, so it was easy enough to just go over to Jersey City. But,
excellent.
I didn't have to cross a bridge or anything to get there, so that helped.
Fucking lazy. That's what you are, is fucking lazy.
I know, man. Well, you know, I could have probably gotten better quality hookers had I gone to New York. I don't know, but, you know, unfortunately, it is what it is.
I never got to experience it either. I only know it from watching documentaries like Street Trash.
Exactly.
Documentaries. Oh, man, that's great. That reminds me of, have you either, Blaine and I have talked about this before, have either of you guys watched the TV show The League?
Yeah.
It reminds me of the characters of Rafi and Dirty Randy refer to all movies as documentaries. And they were talking, I think at one part they're talking about Batman, and they're talking about the documentaries about Batman's life, you know, man, pretty great. But that was a good segue right into the second film we're going to talk about, which is Frankenhooker. So brain damage, before we glaze over that, though, I think of the three movies, you know, that we watched for this episode, it is probably my favorite one, just because I have – well, probably because it's the first one of his films that I remember, like, getting into. I think I've seen Frankenhooker and Basket Case at a younger age, but I don't remember them because I don't remember actually, like, paying attention to them well or watching the whole thing through, really. But, like, this is the first one I got really into, and I think it's still my favorite. But that said, I really liked all three. And do you guys have a favorite Henenlotter movie?
Frankenhooker.
Yeah?
Frankenhooker.
Yeah, I'd have to go with Frankenhooker.
Everybody but me loves Frankenhooker the most.
I just wanted to add one part because I watched it again, and like, I guess I never realized this before, but like, the first half hour is just that guy, like, basically with a voiceover, but he's talking out loud the whole time. Like, he's so fucking crazy. He's, like, talking about the hookers as he's driving around looking at them. Like
that's anyone. True.
That so, nice. So I realized with Braindead, we didn't really give a summary, and you know, of the actual film for anyone who hasn't seen it. If you haven't seen it, go out and watch it. But I'm not going to rewind and do that, but I will ask Blaine, you know, what's Frankenhooker about?
Frankenhooker is a pretty easy story. Basically, a weirdo medical student sets out to recreate his decapitated fiance by building her a new body made of Manhattan street prostitutes. That's it.
Yeah, I guess that's a pretty good summary of the film. I mean, that's really what it is.
What it doesn't mention is explosive crack, strange body shaming at the beginning, weird just parts of ladies, just lady parts. Most of the nudity is parts of ladies. This is definitely another one of those movies that falls in the category that seems to come up at least once a month on the show of movies that me and my pervert friends just grew up watching over and over again. This and movies like The Invisible Maniac that I watched just ad nauseum. And this, so every time I watch it, it's still just as good. It's super clever. I think like the real zany humor works great. And I love that it gets in and out of the city off and on. So you kind of get this weird, like, kind of weirdo's perspective of suburbs at this time. I don't know. I love the shit out of this movie.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of really dark, weird humor, and it's funny because it's, like, it's weird because it's, like, glazed over just how dark it is. It says really dark, horrible things, and it just keeps moving on. One of the things that really jumped out at me, I was making a few notes when I was watching, and his mom is sitting there with him and asks him how he's feeling, and he says, "I feel like I'm plunging headfirst into a deep black void." And her immediate response is, "Would you like a sandwich?" Like, not, there's no beat dropped between him saying the words black void and her saying, "Would you like a sandwich?" I don't know. It's just, I laughed out loud, and I couldn't stop for quite a while. I don't know why that particular thing really got me. I also like that it was the movie took place in Hohokus, New Jersey, which is such a fucking weird town. Being from North Jersey, I actually know where that is, but who picks Hohokus? But anyway.
I didn't even know that was a real place.
It is. Yes. It's even, like, weirder.
I thought it was, like, a play on Hoboken.
No, it's actually a place called Hohokus. I don't even know what to say about that. That's a joke in and of itself. But, even before he starts doing the hooker thing, we get to be introduced also he's got, like, an eyeball head thing in a fish tank that he, like, talks to, and, like, all these weird experiments in his room. I don't know. I really kind of loved all that stuff. And I also love when the his girlfriend, fiance, whatever the hell she is decapitated. They show the news, and in the news, they just make such light of it all. Like, they call it human-tossed salad, and they said everybody was like a jigsaw puzzle trying to put them back together. Like, that's really fucked up. So, I don't know. There was a lot of really dark stuff going on in this film, and I liked it a lot. My other big note for this film, as this is, like, the first time I really remember, like, watching it in depth, was there are lots of tits and explosions. I wrote that several times. Lots of tits, lots of explosions. More tits, more explosions. So, yeah, that was what, I guess, impacted me the most. Tits and explosions.
And exploding tits.
Right, yes. You got to have that in there, too. You know, you can't do that. It looks like we lost Johnny.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Well, that's okay. Well, hopefully he jumps back on in a minute, and we can just keep chatting for a few, because, Zach, you said this is also your favorite Hennenlotter film. What is it about this film that just, you know, makes it your favorite?
It's just almost nonstop funny to me. I like the it almost feels like some stuff at the beginning, sort of John Waters-ish, and the sort of like satire of, you know, the suburbs, everything. I love the giant crack rocks. And I love how excited the hookers are when they see the giant crack rocks. just that kind of just outlandish, ridiculous kind of stuff is, you know, obviously what I gravitate towards since you've seen, you know, the movie Me and Johnny May.
Indeed, indeed. And yeah, it's your movie certainly certainly I get that the humor is there. Yeah, this kind of humor.
Yeah, and also those super another thing I noticed with that in Boner Juice is like those really big performances, like where nobody like you said, the reactions, it's not like, oh cool, giant crack, it's like, oh my god, giant crack. And they like immediately start stripping and having this party, and like Zorro's just left out. They just completely ignore their pimp named Zorro, which I do want to talk to you guys about Zorro, because I think he's one of the best characters in all of these movies. But yeah, like those performances, everybody goes big. Nobody's great, but they're big.
Yeah, you gotta go 100%.
Right.
100% is definitely what they go. When Zorro finally, you know, kind of figures out what's going on, man, he is over the top, man.
Yeah,
he is over the top.
No one said you should probably take it down a notch when they were making that movie.
Yeah. I was sad that we...
Let's cut it in half. And then, you know.
Yeah, I was sad, though, we didn't get to see the erotic shots of his naked ass in this one, like we do in Brain Dead, or Brain Damage.
Yeah, I think any kind of social message that there is in Brain Damage... there's none here, man. This is just fun. This is just ridiculous, dark, yeah. Weird fun.
Yeah.
And the stuff at the end, too, to talk about the effects, all of a sudden, like, the bucket of hooker parts tips over and it turns into society for, like, minutes.
It kind of does look like the old shunting scene in a way, yeah.
I didn't actually look at who did the effects on Frankenhooker.
I'm not sure either.
Yeah, that was something I was looking for on there. I didn't recognize the name, but that doesn't mean anything. But
yeah, well, Society, I think, was Screaming Mad George.
Right, right, yeah, that's,
right, right, right.
I know it wasn't him, but it was someone I saw the name, and it's nobody that stood out on there. But
yeah,
but they pull it off pretty fucking good overall.
This is the portion of the show where John dropped our call and we bullshitted for a while and then we waited for him to come back and then he came back. Hip hip hooray! Also, I wanted to use this short moment to plug that if you look at the show notes, you can find a way to win a copy of the Unquenchable Thirst for Boner Juice. So check that out and get yourself a copy of this fucked up movie. Johnny, hey, we're done. The conversation's over. I hope you had a good day. just kidding. Just kidding.
Sorry, guys. My leg hit the router and unplugged it. Yeah, I'm pretty smart.
Oh.
No, nice. No problem. We talked in circles for a while.
I said your kid probably kicked it over.
No. I kicked my kid out of here.
You figured if you're going to talk about Frank Hedelotter movies, maybe he shouldn't be in there?
Exactly.
Do you have one kid, two kids? Red kids, blue kids?
2-year-old daughter and an 8-month-old son.
Oh, wow. Little ones.
Yeah, they're out of grandma's house.
But yeah, nice. I've got a 9 and a 7-year-old, and Blaine's got an 8-year-old, so we are a little bit older. Our kids are a little bit older. But,
You got any pointers? Any advice?
Don't have any more. That's my only pointer. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Like, oh, fuck this. We're done. But, having kids is great, and it's a hell of a lot of work, as you're well aware already.
It is, so. Yeah. I made a video and showed my mom, and she said, I know it's an old joke, but she said, God, what are you... people without kids even do. And I was like, anything they want, Mom.
Yeah, that's fair. You got any kiddos, Zach?
No.
God bless you. Oh, man, that's nice.
I do what I want.
There you go, yeah. Zach, where do you call home? John's in Portland, right?
Yeah, I'm in California. I lived up in Portland when we made the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, I guess we should talk a little bit more about Frankenhooker, and at least let John kind of chime in about Frankenhooker and kind of get back into that. So, Johnny, tell us a little bit about your why you love Frankenhooker so much.
You know, it's really for I guess there's two reasons. Number one, I really enjoy the beginning where because I have an electrical engineering background, and just watching someone draw like resistors and capacitors on like a leg of a woman. I love watching that and being like, yeah, that'll probably work. That should really bring her to life.
Maybe I shouldn't bother showing him the film. There's a lot of other reasons I shouldn't show him the film that have nothing to do with that, though. That him not believing it. I think there's a lot of other reasons. He's just not exactly the Hendon Lauder type.
All dads love exploding hookers. That is a fact. All dads.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, then maybe I'll give hey. Oh, man. Well, yeah, and it sounds like you know, the three of you guys love this movie a little more than me, but I still love it a lot. I mean, I still really enjoyed it. And you know, tits and explosions and exploding tits. That's basically what I got out of it, so.
Oh, and I also like the part, spoiler, sorry, at the end when he, like, his head gets put on basically a hooker's body, and his first response is like, where's my Johnson?
Yeah, where's my Johnson?
Like, wow, you know what that's so crazy is that's another really great transition. Where's my Johnson? Yeah. Which can go right into the next film, Bad Biology. You know, so I guess Zach had never seen this one, so Johnny, this was your selection. Is Bad Biology a fan you, movie you really like, or you just think it's fun, or what made you choose this one?
Yeah, I think it's fun. No, I just saw that it was like, I think where did it come out in like 2008? Mm-hmm. You know, and I hadn't seen any, you know, Hendon-Lauder movies since, you know, they had come out since the 90s. So I was like, I'd like to see how he's grown as a filmmaker.
The answer is, he hasn't.
Yeah. I was like, oh, digression? Regression? I don't know. It's pretty great. But I loved it. I love Bad Biology for everything that it is. It's an amazing, like, you know, because it's obviously has these two polarities of male and female and, like, there's obviously a lot of female empowerment that's deranged, and then everyone's worried their dick's gonna fall off. So it's all the bases.
Yeah, I mean, so I knew that there was like some kind of monster dick in this movie, and so I was expecting it to be all about monster dick. I was a little surprised when I turned it on, and it was about a super pussy for a while. I just wasn't expecting that, and. Of course, the monster dick then soon came out. And it was...
Like an hour into the movie, I screamed at my TV, where's the dick?
Yeah. Yeah, I was waiting for this dick, that, you know. And, man, that's the story of my life, waiting for dick. But in all seriousness, like, the movie was so, like, weird and bizarre and just... I don't even know what to call it. It was just ridiculous. But it was really, really fun. I definitely wouldn't... I think you're right to say maybe there's a regression there. I don't know if that's in the R.A. the Rugged Man script or if that's in the direction. I don't know. But I definitely think it's probably not as well made as some of his older films in a lot of ways. Could also be a budget thing. They might have done this on even less money. Or yeah, maybe the same the same amount of money except... You know, in 2008, it was worth a lot less. So, Blaine, I know you, when we first decided we were going to watch these and I asked you about the films, you know, just you and me, you said that this was by far the worst of the three. You stand by that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, without a doubt. This is the worst of the three. It's still got a lot of fun stuff in it. The stuff that I don't like about it is, like, I don't know, you can tell, and I'm a big hip-hop fan. R.A. the Rugged Man is one of those fixtures of people in hip-hop who just talk a lot and don't actually make records or anything. And everything from this movie just feels so, it lacks a lot of the stuff that, the playfulness and the fun that I like from Hendon-Lauder and replaces it with, like, what's seemingly the arrested development of fucking Ari the Rugged Man, who's like a 50-year-old, 12-year-old. And I mean, like, on some sides, it's a lot of fun, but so after a while, it's very hard for me to not start dicking around with my phone or something, because it's just like the talking between these people is magnificently dumb. But there's just too much of it. And I mean, I love monster dicks. I love killer pussies and all that kind of fun stuff. But yeah, I'm still pretty lukewarm on it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it'll grow on me. But I don't think so. I've tried to watch this multiple times because I don't like how little I like the movie. I want to like it a lot more. I mean, it's fun. I love the soundtrack on it. You got, you know, tracks by Atmosphere and as well as Kool G Rap, a lot of fun stuff, you know. And
wait, and the actual entire soundtrack was overseen by Prince Paul.
Yeah, no, it's
I mean, that's actually pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, no, it's
the high point of the film.
Yeah, I mean, because so on that side, so it's like I love Hannon Lauder, I love hip hop, I love Monster Genitals. But somehow all those things put together, just it doesn't do that much for me. But I mean, I think it's just a matter of taste, and I just Ari the Rugged Man is not a dude I'm a big fan of. But he had a short-lived podcast that was actually pretty decent, though. I mean, but that's besides the point. What did someone else say something positive?
Well, I later said he seems like a 50-year-old, 12-year-old. You know, he started his music career, ironically, at the 12. So maybe it just hasn't changed since then. I don't know. But I'm actually completely unaware of anything this man has done except for this film. So
the only thing I knew him from, I mean, I knew he was in hip hop, but he worked with a guy called Afro.
Yeah.
He was like a 15-year-old rapper, and he did a track that used the theme song from Ernest Scared Stupid, and he rapped over it, and that was amazing.
Oh, yeah, because don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing both Ari the Rugged Man and Ari Afro are good rappers.
This was this guy, Afro, but Ari the Rugged Man was like the guy who sort of, I don't know, introduced him or something. Anyways, anyone that raps on Ernest is great.
Yeah, and he also was known for like urinating on crowds and completely destroyed a pretty decent contract with Def Jam Records in the 90s. The guy is notorious for like just destroying his career before it ever got started. Like
you have to respect that too. You do.
Yeah, it's one of those things you hear talking. You know, you hear like the Wu-Tang guys talking about him. And it's just like, oh yeah, you know, he'd get on stage and pull his dick out and start getting it hard and stuff. And he was just one of those weirdos.
Yeah. I also just learned, because I'm sitting here with Wikipedia in front of me, I'm not gonna lie, because I don't, like I said, I know nothing about this guy, that his dad was a Vietnam veteran affected by Agent Orange.
Oh, wow.
So that's something.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Here's a look. Just to let you guys know, we usually don't dwell so much on trivia. I think these are just too much fun.
Well, I don't know. I think Johnny, when you disappeared for a few minutes, Blaine started reading IMDb trivia to us. It was pretty fun. We learned a few really interesting facts, which I may or may not edit out of this podcast depending on how I'm feeling. So. You know, it was pretty fantastic. So, anywho, yeah.
Did you guys look up the thing about
unofficial sequel to Blade Runner?
Wait, what?
Right?
Can you please clarify this?
Because Roger Hauer was in it.
Oh my God! It's unofficial sequel to Blade Runner. I love it.
That's canon.
Oh Lord. Oh man! I think we've derailed things a little bit here, but
I did read one thing about the male guy in Bad Biology, that he was cast on obviously Craigslist because it's the best,
right?
And that Hannon Lauder,
all the best actors are found,
because he thought he was a little too big for the role, you know, to play a junkie, and that the guy lost like 30 pounds in 30 days to be in this movie.
Oh wow!
Jeez. And it like impressed Hennenlotter so much that they're like, yeah, you got it.
Wow, I mean that's like Christian Bale shit over there, man.
Dude, I can't lose 5 pounds in like 2 years.
Right. Yeah, I like that because the guy's not that big to begin with. Losing 30 pounds in 30 days for bad biology. We're not talking about the fucking mechanic here.
Yeah. Yep. Oh man, that's pretty great. So. Blaine, I'm going to put you on the spot again here and ask you, even though we've already rapped about it a little bit, what basically happens in Bad Biology? What's this film about? Besides the fact it's about a Frankenstein, or a monster pussy and a monster dick, what exactly goes on in this film?
I'm glad you asked. Driven by biological excess, a man and a woman search for sexual fulfillment, unaware of each other's existence. Unfortunately, they eventually meet, and the bonding of these two very unusual human beings ends in a god-awful love story. That's just IMDb.
But that's pretty fair. That's yeah. Pretty good explanation.
The thing that brings these two characters together is that they want to shoot a rap video with a bunch of ladies with pussy faces.
Yes. And
pussy faces, yep.
This guy's decrepit house.
Shout out to Bone Vinny Path from Jedi Mind Tricks for being the rapper recording or filming this video with the vagina face women.
Yeah, I love how he sexually harasses everyone in the room and then stumbles over some lines. One thing I'm learning is that I like talking about Bad Biology probably more than the other two movies that I love, because it is a fun movie to talk about in retrospect. Because there are when it is high, it is good. It does hit some good high points in the film.
Yeah.
Speaking of high, I feel like this is the kind of film that might be better watched high. I don't know. It seems like it might be that kind of film. I don't know. Has anybody actually watched this movie while not fully sober and can attest to such a thing?
No, I was a little sleepy.
Yeah.
I checked
Instagram like 19 times every time people talked.
Yeah. So you like the action and not exactly the dialogue, the public. Yeah.
I like vagina faces. I don't like these people talking.
Well, yeah, it's hard to talk with a vagina on your face, so that's... That definitely makes sense that that'd be one of your favorite parts. But, I guess to bring it all around to the first film we talked about, there's an addiction thing in this film, although I don't think it's trying to make any kind of social point, because it's not the main character who's addicted. It's his dick. Now got its own mind and is addicted to drugs, which is really interesting. And he has conversations with the dick. The dick says he doesn't need him anymore. And when we hit the crescendo, the dick may or may not kind of crawl off of the owner's body and attack people. So it's kind of very trauma feel to it for me. This movie's definitely got a big trauma feel to it, which is not a bad thing by any stretch. And Lauder obviously has a lot of the same sensibilities as some of the trauma folks. So but I would put it in that category of like the better trauma films, not the really bad ones, you know. I kind of liked it more than maybe some of the trauma stuff that is just, I don't know, to me, god awful. But
like what?
I don't know. Like what?
Like
what? Like,
hey, what?
Like I don't know. Like big decade. yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm a little bit less of a trauma head than Blaine, so. Probably quite a few films don't hit with me the way other ones do, but Blaine really loved a lot of trauma growing up, so you know maybe he would defend some of the ones I'd attack. But like for instance, I think Poultrygeist is a piece of shit, for example, and it's not because it's a musical, because I like musicals. In fact, I like your film, which is a musical, but I don't like Poultrygeist even a little.
Dude, my wife watched that movie over at Zach's house once, and I think her answer was, wow, now I know that movies like that exist.
and I'm willing to say, trauma, that's the hill that I'm ready to die on. I defend a lot of terrible movies from trauma, and yeah, this movie reminds me a lot of a trauma film called Pervert, if any of you guys have seen, from about 10 years ago.
Haven't.
Oh, and, you're not missing out on anything. It's like this movie, but incompetently made.
Wow. So if this was the competent version, we don't want to see the incompetent version, I guess. So, geez. Oh, man. So three movies by the great Frank Henenlotter. A lot of fun. We could probably get into like some of those things that we talked about, like the seediness of New York and how that's really, really interesting in his films. You know, a lot of that is not manufactured. The New York in the 80s and 90s, when he was making some of his peak films, was that dirty and grimy in certain parts. There's a reason that, you know, there was a big focus on cleaning up, you know, 42nd Street and stuff. You know, there's a big reason for that. So, you know, that there's definitely a lot to that. There's a lot of other things you can kind of break down with Henenlotter as well, but ultimately, the guy just made fun, dark, weird horror comedies, and I think the world is better for it.
Oh, for sure. Hear, hear. Yeah, I like that Johnny skipped Basket Case, and he was bad brain damage, Frankenhooker, and Bad Biology. I'm glad I saw Bad Biology. It was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, I was part of that reasoning, too, because, man, I think Basket Case is a piece of shit. So.
Fuck you.
Yeah, that's okay. You could... Oh, that's great. But, I mean, I'm willing to give it another shot one day. So when I give it another shot, if I hate it less, I'll let you know. But I was not a fan. But, again, I put it in, and I haven't watched it in a long time. And, like I said, Brain Damage a few years ago is the first one of his films that I really got into and, like, really, really appreciated. So maybe revisiting some of the ones I saw years prior to that, I'll feel a little different about when I revisit them. So, and that's really just the only one I still would have to revisit would probably be Basket Case, because Frankenhooker was one of the ones that I didn't remember loving a lot that I went back and really did enjoy this time. So, I really enjoyed these movies. I'm glad we had a chance to watch them. And, yeah, so, you know, I could see watching your film how Henenlotter's film certainly could be an influence on your stuff. And you talked a little bit about, you know, this particular film being one that you were just kind of using it to mock the hero's journey when you were reading some Joseph Campbell kind of stuff. What else inspired this movie for you, Boner Juice?
I think, you know, just it was like the first movie that I'd ever like written. So it's basically, you know, it's my life, man. My life was basically this movie.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of shit, a lot of dicks, a lot of stuff like that, huh?
Sensitive buttholes. Yeah. You know, it's rough out there.
I could tell that part was autobiographical.
Yes.
Yeah, it was too specific.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought when I was watching that scene. I was like, writer's got some serious hang-ups about toilet paper. Someone has a sensitive bottom end.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I mentioned before, this is a movie that I had such a blast. We got it from you guys. I'd heard a little bit because I know that I believe it won in the city I live in at the Atlanta Underground Film Festival. So I've heard from a few people that were at the screening there, or at least it played there. I can't remember. You can correct me, but I'm pretty sure. Didn't you guys win?
I think it won a thing.
Yeah,
it won I think best comedy. Yeah.
So when I was watching it, was like came home from work early. I just threw it on. I was definitely expecting something a little less polished than what I got, and I was really shocked because it gained so much momentum and keeps that high level throughout the entire movie and doesn't dull, because you even get to the end and it's still fucking nuts, man. Because that's the thing, a lot of those kind of movies, it usually when you have those kinds of like of kind of zanier flicks, they usually start pretty strong and then they kind of decline. And once it loses that momentum, I end up kind of checking out until it kind of picks up again at the end. But no, you guys kept those gags continuously going, including one of my favorite cameos probably in the last decade with Linnea Quigley showing up to, you know, jerk off her nephew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Johnny humored me on that one. That was my, he's making my teenage dreams come true. Quickly.
No, absolutely. Cause she's one of those people that I always get bummed out. Cause people use her for cameos all the time, but they never actually, I never feel like they actually use her for the stuff she's good at. Which to me is playing that.
Apparently.
No, but I'm saying, but that kind of role.
Sorry, just couldn't stop thinking that that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, but it's like that kind of role. That's what's her name from Night of the Demons as a more matured in years lady.
Yeah, well, we had to get her out all the way from Florida, so we figured, you know, get her in there for more than a minute.
yeah. I mean, yeah, that's totally fair. And the guy who plays Dr. Boner Juice, he looks a lot like what's his name? Like the guy from Night Court, the big bald Maul. Dude to me. Yeah, Richard Maul. I couldn't help but picture him. Like Richard Maul in my head, and I'm thinking of this guy in Night Court. And I don't know, it's just something weird about like that for me. Like I'm picturing this guy as Richard Maul, but you know,
he was.
I guess a celebrity lookalike is at least a good thing.
Well, he was in a local production of The Karate Kid, the musical, and he played.
Wait, there's a Karate Kid the musical?
Oh my god, yeah. There's this group in town that does different musicals on different like 80s movies, like Die Hard and Karate Kid, and. They're just incredible because they're so self-aware of how dumb they are.
I feel like I need to see all of these like yesterday.
Well, John Branch, Dr. Boner, just played the bad guy sensei from Karate Kid. Fucking incredible, like with a wig on. He was amazing.
Oh man, that's great. No, actually, I can totally see that. That totally works.
Yeah, I think they're doing Evil Dead this month or something. I forget.
Well, that's awesome. And how did everything kind of come along with all the casting for the movie? Because everybody pulls off those song and dance numbers pretty fucking good.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it was a process. I think most movies are easier to cast in that the people want to be in them. So. This was a little more difficult. I don't know, Zach. What would you say? I feel like it was like,
well, you know, I mean, we had to get creative with it. Like the nuns were actually supposed to be women,
right?
But I mean, like, how are we going to get grown women to do that?
Although you did have them as actual women in like one scene when they say dance topless
in the flashback. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, well, yeah.
A little secret. That was actually one woman on a green screen.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh my god, that's why they're all wearing different facial hair. That's great.
So are you telling me that the women of Portland weren't excited to play such roles as Sister Buttfister and Sister Fuckface?
Yeah. We had a couple polite passes on that one.
don't forget Sister Dick Twister.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh Jesus! No, this movie. Like...
I mean, everyone was cool about it. Like we had one actress that we were talking to play Ron's mom, and she didn't want to do it because it was gross. But she's the one that recommended the actress who ended up playing the mom. She's like, "Oh, I know someone who would do that," and it worked out perfectly. So,
no, that's awesome. Yeah, no, I think that's that film just. Everything just coalesces so well. I'm sorry. It just keeps making me laugh every time I think of just names. And I'm going to the IMDb again, you know, looking at, you know, Ron's Booty Worm, which I don't want to ruin for anyone who hasn't seen the movie because that's probably one of my favorite just random things that just kind of happens on this fucking adventure.
I like when we introduce two booty worms and they go butt to butt to have a conversation.
I have to point out the fact that I put your movie on silent with actual you know the subtitles as we're talking because I don't know why and it's on in my background and I just looked up as soon as we started talking about the scene and I just caught the Dirty Sanchez. So there you go. You know, hey, just to put it in perspective, folks. Some Dirty Sanchez is going on here. So definitely a movie that's not for the faint of heart. If you have a problem with things like scat play and, well, virtually anything that you can think of, yeah, you just, you know, maybe it's going to be a tough one for you. But it's if you can handle, you know, goofy shit and you like fun dance numbers and songs, man, our recommendation for this week, as we usually recommend something, is Boner Juice, which you could probably check out on Prime for like another couple days, but because they're ripping off our good friends here, we recommend you head over to Unquenchable Thirst. What is it? UnquenchableThirstMovie.com?
TheUnquenchableThirstMovie.com.
Right, and we will make sure we link that in, and you guys should click that right now and go purchase yourself a copy.
They're stupid cheap on there too.
You're not even making money on that shit. So
we're giving them away.
Yeah, man.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. Before we wrap everything up, where can everybody find you on the old social medias?
I mean, we just have like my Instagram handle is at my toes are on fire.
Nice.
Yeah, and we're on, and the movie's on Facebook. We're working on a new one right now that's presently called Ten Dicks Hendrix and the Brazilian Fart Porn Explosion.
Wait, Ten Dicks Hendrix and the Brazilian Fart Porn Explosion?
We were like, how can we come up with a title less marketable than the Unquenchable Thirst?
Yeah, I think you did it. I think you came up with it. Yeah, you did good.
Nailed it.
Well, I'll be sure to be looking out for that one, and Blade and I will be contacting you about how to become executive producers and put our life savings into that film.
Oh, yeah, that's
because
terrible.
We know that's a really good idea. I mean, it's going to do wonders in the box office.
Yeah. Well, if you guys follow Johnny on Instagram, you'll probably see some pictures of the dick helmet he's making.
Nice. Well, we will. My toes are on fire. I will be following you later on this evening. So thanks a lot, guys. And, you know, we really appreciate the chance to talk to you. And we'll continue to, you know, pimp out your weird, fucked up movies as much as we can. So.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, guys. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening again this week and helping us celebrate our one-year anniversary over the past couple episodes. I just want to remind everyone that we do have an extended deadline for Buried Alive Film Festival, so get the fuck on Film Freeway. Let us see your fucking movie. Well, we got a couple episodes lined up. We can't wait to share with you guys, so we will see you next time, and peace.
Gotta give it up. Just this one. To save the you universe.
Yeah, I'm a slutty space nun. Yeah, I'm a harlot. I'm a dick smoking skank that feeds on cartoon motherfucking live. So put it in my frum-frum.
Then stop it in my bum bum, and I will lick your butt and stuff, and it's gonna be awesome.
Dirty Sanchez,
un tiempo para universo. Oh, oh, one time for the universe, one time. Time for the universe, un tiempo para el universo. Oh, oh. One time for the universe, one time for the universe, un tiempo. Time for the universe, un tiempo.
temple.